Shalom, Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word, means family, and we're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to have a supernatural marriage. And I have a couple that God has raised up to speak to you right now, Audrey and Bob Meissner. Now, we found out on yesterday's broadcast that they were high-profile television, had their own, Audrey had her own program. Bob was involved in a nationally syndicated religious broadcast. They were just the perfect couple. Now, we know what's going on in the world right now. We know about the increase because of the proliferation of pornography on the internet. We know about adultery that goes on in just horrible. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And the media is just saying it's okay. But Audrey, if she had been approached on an adulterous situation, would have ran from it. But the devil's smart. He doesn't go after that. He goes after a need, a long-time need that Audrey had within herself, and starts a lie little by little. And someone that would say, I never, ever would consider an adulterous affair, had one. Audrey, review again how it started.
Again, I just wanted to say that in the beginning, I had a friendship with a guy who was paying attention to me in the church, and it made me feel good. It made me feel beautiful, made me feel wanted. And I thought, I can just be friends with this guy. And I just really was living such an intense, busy life. I was a mom. I had extra people living in our home. I was always trying to make everyone happy. And I thought, I'm just going to have this friendship because this guy's just a lot of fun. And I'm just going to hang out with him because I know that nothing would ever get inappropriate. And I hope that our listeners can hear the pride behind that. Because if there's ever an area where we say, oh, we can control this, we don't need God, then we are really opening the door for deception. Because that pride opens the door for deception. And believe me, I got deceived, Sid. I started to think that I could have this friendship, and before long...
And let me interject this. If someone like you had resisted when it was just a little sin, if there's such a thing as a little sin, it never would have become a big sin. Maybe even the first thoughts of this person is fun. I want from an opposite sex. I want to be around them. From that first thought, it's got to be nipped in the bud.
It really does, because I have a great illustration for this. I see sin as H2O. H2O is an element. And when it's steam, you can't see it, but it's still H2O. When it's water, it becomes liquid. It becomes tangible. When H2O becomes frozen and it becomes ice, it can cut and it can kill. And I feel that that's what happened with sin. It is just as much sin when it was in the steam stage as when it was in the ice stage, but yet it becomes harmful and it can kill, because you know the wages of sin are death. And if I could have started when it was just in my thoughts, when the temptations were just to start, but you know, something in my heart, just the selfish nature in me just desired more and more and more, because you see, sin is never satisfied.
Oh, okay. You enjoyed being around him. He made you feel good. He was funny. He made you feel good about yourself. What happened next?
What happens next is that's when I started crossing the line. Little by little, little things would happen, and I would justify them and thought, oh, it's not that bad. It's no big deal. I might have stepped off the path, but this is only a temporary detour, and it's just a little bit of fun and adventure, and I deserve a little bit of fun. And I wasn't thinking about what was lying ahead, and I just decided to enjoy the moment without the consequence that it was really leading to. But the whole time, I didn't stop loving my husband. But in my selfishness, I thought I could have this little bit of fun and it could get a little bit physical while I was still committed to Bob. I say those words right now, Sid, and it sounds ridiculous. Like, are you kidding me? But you see, I was just, the selfish in me was completely dealing with my, like it was playing with my thoughts, because in my spirit I could still hear that still small voice in me, the Holy Spirit, saying that this temporary detour was really deadly.
Now, Bob, could you tell there was anything, was there any intuitive feeling within you there was something wrong with your wife's relationship with this member of the church?
Yeah, and there was a bit of a warning. And I remember, a couple times, but one, specifically, I took Audrey out for lunch and I sat her down and I just said, hey, I'm not liking all the time that you're spending. I'm not liking what's going on. And immediately she just reaffirmed me, oh, there's nothing, everything's okay. And the whole thing is that everything was okay with us. We loved each other. We loved our family. We loved doing life with each other. And so what I did was I just trusted her.
Now, Audrey, what caused you to confess to Bob that you were involved in adultery?
As soon as the sin got actually sexual, I ended the relationship almost immediately because of the torment and the confusion and the chaos that was going on, like a war going inside of me between my spirit man and my flesh man, so to speak. And so the torment was so crazy, the confusion in my mind, I guess the Holy Spirit in me just rose up and ended it with this guy and said, I can't live another moment with this dual life. And so I ended it with him, not because my feelings for him were gone, but because it was the right thing to do. As soon as it got sexual, I ended it. I said, you have to leave town. This is not appropriate. You have to flee. And as soon as I did that, I thought maybe I could get free and just maybe I could hold my secret forever, because I didn't want to hurt Bob. I didn't want this betrayal to ever, affect our marriage. But that was a lie as well, because the betrayal had taken place. So I fell to my knees, Sid. I just said, Jesus, help me. Nobody knows my secret. I'm carrying this heavy secret. What do I do? And I asked him to forgive me. Jesus forgave me. But then I heard that still small voice in my heart again saying, Audrey, you're going to have to tell Bob, because this secret is going to drive a wedge into the intimacy, and eventually this secret will fester and it'll destroy you. And I thought, that's it. And it took every bit of courage in me, and I cry when I think about it, when I told Bob and I fell down at his feet and we were sitting in an office that was empty and no one could interrupt us, and I told him that I had committed the sin of adultery. It was just days after the affair had ended.
How did that affect you initially, Bob?
In the moment, I couldn't believe it, and immediately my mind began to create. In the imagery of my mind, I began to create a rescue plan for me, and it had everything to do with leaving. Because the whole thing was that, in our communication style, she would come to me and she'd say, I'm so sorry, I did this and that. Okay, let's forgive and move on. But this wasn't just a little oops or a mistake. This was a big deal. And I knew that if I were to leave, then she would be discovered for what she did to me. Immediately, I put on the victim. I couldn't believe that this was really her. I began to interrogate and question. And, when that reality began to sink in, all I wanted to do was run. I went to my office not knowing what to do, and I stared at a blank wall. And I'll tell our listeners what to do every single time when they don't know what to do. And it's simply this: ask God. And that's when things become supernatural. In that moment, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, and he reminded me of a book that was on my bookshelf, and he said, give this man a call. And when I phoned him, he began to speak truth into my life. Not sympathy, but truth. First question he asked me was this: who knows? I said, nobody. He says, good, let's keep it that way. And that was just so confusing.
That was the opposite. You wanted the whole world to feel sorry for you.
I wanted everybody to know. You know, because I'm the innocent one here. I didn't ask for this. I didn't do anything wrong. She's the guilty one. And you know, and those were the emotions and the rage that was rising up in me. And yet I hear a man of God speaking truth to me. And he says, no, he says, your father would not do this. He hasn't done it to you. Would you consider covering your wife? That evening we had a phone conversation, Audrey, myself, and my pastor friend, and he began to speak to me the principles of covering. And that has two primary principles. Number one is to protect, and the second is to promote healing. When you've been hurt or wounded, when you've been cut, you immediately cover that wound to protect it from any further injury. And then you remove your hand and you suture that wound and you bandage it. You cover it again to promote healing, because that's what God does. When we make a mistake, he doesn't come to us and he doesn't shame us. He doesn't expose us, but rather he brings a covering. Proverbs 25:2 says this, it's God's glory to conceal a matter and for a king to discover its understanding. My Heavenly Father loves me, and he covers me. He doesn't ignore my sin, but rather he comes at my defense, and he promotes healing in my life. And that was a whole new principle for me. And all I could do, because in the chaos of that moment, because wherever there is sexual sin...
Oh, we're out of time. We'll pick up here on tomorrow's broadcast. But, you know, if this was the whole story, we would say tragedy, but they forgave, and it was all over. But it's not the whole story. As a matter of fact, shortly thereafter, Audrey finds out she's pregnant. What are they going to do? Is it possible for Bob to forgive? Is it possible for Audrey to forgive herself? What shame they were dealing with. But there's so many people that are about ready to commit the sin that Audrey committed, and so many people involved in things like this, and so many people with horrible marriages. How would you like your marriage transformed from dead to incredible? How would you like your marriage transformed from good to incredible? How would you like your whole family transformed? I want you to get these three DVD teachings and the book, Your Supernatural Marriage, available for a gift of $40. To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 704-943-6500. That's 704-943-6500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation to Sid Roth. That's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.